This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Greetings, travelers. Tonight, I want to take us into the Wayback Machine, and we are going to go back to December 19th, 1777. And we are at one of the most iconic and desperate moments in American history. We're at the winter at Valley Forge. The Continental Army is starving, freezing, and disintegrating. The commander-in-chief, George Washington, that man of stone-faced resolve that's sitting on the dollar bill, he's shouldering the impossible weight of a failing revolution. Now, this is a story about that low point, but it's not the one from the new Ken Burns documentary. It's not the one from your textbook. This is one for eerie travels. This is one that just kind of persists about that darkest hour, where George Washington had a vision and a visitation. And let's just set the scene. Okay, so the established record, yeah, that historical record is just grim enough, right? Washington letters from that winter are desperate pleas for supplies and for help. He's not just battling the British, but he's battling Congress. I mean, they're indifferent to the disease and mass desertion. And he was just physically and emotionally exhausted. And now let's layer on this next layer. Okay. Now, the most famous version of this comes to us not from Washington, but from a man named Anthony Sherman. Now, Sherman was on his deathbed in 1859. And as this very old man, he told this story to a writer named Wesley Bradshaw. Now, Sherman said he was a soldier at Valley Forge and witnessed Washington himself recount this vision to a couple of his lieutenants. Now, according to Sherman's account, Washington had come out from his quarters looking pale and shaken. And he told his officers he had seen a mysterious, singularly beautiful female figure appear in his quarters. And she led him in sort of a trance to see three great perils that would face the very new United States. The first was this War of Independence, which they were currently fighting. And the second was a great conflict where brother would fight against brother. And the third was a colossal global war involving all the nations of the earth. Now, after showing him these trials, which, you know, you can pretty much map to a few big ones, I think you can figure out the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and not sure World War One or Two, but I still think they were the same war with a quick little pause in the middle, but that's just me. But anyway, that angelic figure promised that this divine republic would survive them all. And she called Washington the father of the Republic. Some stories say the son of the Republic. And assured him that he would be present in spirit to witness each crisis. And then she vanished. So, a patriotic vision, right? A kind of a divine seal of approval on the great American experiment. I mean, it checks all the boxes. We've got a suffering leader. We've got a supernatural reassurance. The prophecy of national triumph through tribulation. It's almost biblical, right? And that's likely its true origin, because where did this come from? I mean, historians point out the glaring issues, right? But we're going to talk about those after we get back.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, we're back. So yeah, no contemporary account from Valley Forge mentions this, right? Anthony Sherman's story was published in the National Tribune in 1859, right on the eve of the Civil War. Now, this was a period of intense religious revival and national anxiety, and the story was perfect propaganda, a divine warning and the promise about a coming Civil War with the founding father as its witness. And it was most likely pious fiction created to give, you know, kind of a sacred feel to what was coming. And then the story mutated again, and that's when it added that second one about World War II or World War I. And that came out around the 1950s. And now remember, 1950s and 60s, we kind of have this rise of UFO culture and the space age. So this new version, this new coat of paint that it was kind of given, the angel of Valley Forge was retrofitted. And it kind of became like early occult, early UFO contactee type thing. The radiant being was reinterpreted. And it wasn't a heavenly angel, but an extraterrestrial. And the prophecy wasn't divine, but advanced knowledge given by star visitors. Now, this version points to Washington's own strange description in the letter, seeing a luminous figure, though he was certainly describing a dream about the military in America. And they kind of latch onto this vision of the future, suggesting time travel or intergalactic foresight. But neither one of them really proves anything, right? So why does this myth endure? Why do we keep retelling a story we know isn't true? I think it's because it serves that deep need that real Washington at Valley Forge was too human, too fragile. The idea that the nation almost didn't exist, that's terrifying. The angel myth replaces that terrifying uncertainty with divine intervention or extraterrestrial destiny. This was meant to be. The suffering had a purpose. And he was chosen to be guided. I think it's, you know, the alien version is just more secular, swaps the religion for sci-fi, but the core is the same. Washington wasn't just a lucky, stubborn man. He was a contactee, given a mission from a higher power. But in the end, the Valley Forge vision, I mean, it tells us nothing about 1777. It's more about the eras that kept reviving it, right? The 1850s needed a patriotic saint to navigate a civil war. And the 1950s needed a founding father in the new atomic age after coming out of a second war, a global war. The real miracle of Valley Forge was more profound than anything. It's that weary, desperate man with no supernatural guarantees simply refused to give up. He held an army together through sheer force of will and management. And perhaps that's more inspiring than a Christmas myth that we should sit with. Not that the future was shown to him, but he had the courage to invent it one frozen day at a time. So, what do y'all think? Angel, alien, myth, a good Christmas story? I don't know. It's just a powerful legend that we forget about sometimes, but then it comes back. Thank you, Ken Burns, for bringing it back a little bit. You didn't realize you were going to do that, but here it is. I started getting it sent again. But, you know, gang, here at Eerie Travels, we have to keep questioning the history you think you know. And sometimes we give these myths a little credence, but I think this one, we can put it back in Santa's sack and say, no, thank you. We don't really need this. We have the real miracle of George Washington and Valley Forge. And we'll see you on the other side.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.